The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Does the Bible give any guidance or rules about divorce and remarriage? If so, what are the circumstances? We'll talk about this today on Grace in Focus. Thank you for tuning in. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We are located in North Texas, and if you want to find out more about us, please go to our website, faithalone.org. There you can read our daily blogs and you can find out about our online seminary. That's faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
I think you have a question from Ruth.
Yeah, Ruth has a question, looks like from a podcast we talked about a few weeks ago on divorce and remarriage. And I guess in that podcast, we had mentioned that sexual immorality was one of the grounds that permitted remarriage. And I guess Ruth has a question whether, I guess based on what she's been seeing in 1 Corinthians, she seems to indicate that maybe only your spouse dying is the only permissible situation for remarriage. So she'd like some more clarification on why we think maybe sexual immorality allows one to remarry.
Okay. This is a big subject, and let me give a little historical background and then go into a few texts. One of the texts is 1 Corinthians 7, and we'll talk about that. One of the texts is Matthew 19:9, and the other one is Matthew 5:32. When I was at Dallas Seminary, I wrote my master's thesis on the fifth point of Calvinism, the perseverance of the saints. A friend of mine, Bill Heth, wrote his master's thesis on divorce and remarriage. And he took the view that Ruth is discussing here, that there's no divorce and no remarriage except in the case of death. And, of course, that wouldn't be divorce. That would be simply death is the only way you can remarry. I remember being in a brown bag discussion where Bill was there with one of the faculty members, and they were fielding questions on this subject. And this one young man said that his brother was like 25 and his wife had had an affair and divorced him. And he said, so you're saying my brother can never remarry? And they said, well, he can if his spouse dies. And they said, so what do you recommend my brother do? I mean, he wants to have children. He wants to have a family. And yet his wife had an affair and his wife divorced him. And, you know, there was nothing he could do about it. Now, I will say, Bill's been a friend of mine for a long time. I haven't seen him in many years. But I understand he later changed his view. He wrote his dissertation on the subject, published a view on the subject. But after about 20 years of teaching in a Bible college, I heard he came back to the position that there is grounds for divorce and remarriage in the case of porneia. Porneia is the word that occurs in Matthew 19:9 and Matthew 5:32. Could you read Matthew 5:32?
Sure.
And then we'll read 19:9.
Sure, Matthew 5:32. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery.
Okay, and now this except for sexual immorality, that's the Greek word porneia. There's a different word for adultery, that's moicheia. So this word is broader. So this word would include things like homosexuality, things like incest, I would suggest even bestiality, things like that. So it's broader than just adultery. And also read Matthew 19:9, because I think this is slightly clearer.
Matthew 19:9. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery.
Now, the question is, does the exception clause, except for porneia, just apply to divorce or to both divorce and remarriage? There are people who say you are permitted to divorce. You're not required, but you are permitted to divorce in the case of porneia.
Yeah.
But you're not permitted to remarry. You have to wait until the spouse dies. That's one view. The other view is you're not even permitted to divorce.
Yeah.
I believe that the most natural reading is that this applies to both divorce and remarriage, so that a person is free to divorce and remarry in the case of immorality, sexual immorality. Now, you have the question Ruth is talking about in 1 Corinthians 7. Now, in 1 Corinthians 7, it talks about marriage lasts as long as a person is alive. But it's interesting, later in 1 Corinthians 7, he talks about if a believer is married to an unbeliever and the unbeliever wants to depart, let him depart. And what's interesting is he's probably talking not about a believer who married an unbeliever, but it's two people who were unbelievers, and then one of them has come to faith, and the unbeliever wants to depart. Look at verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 7. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. Some people think that this is not only an additional cause for divorce, but this is actually an additional cause for remarriage.
Okay, so that, and I guess another exception would be if you have an unbelieving spouse who leaves you.
You don't leave them.
Yeah.
You don't divorce them, but they want a divorce and you let it happen.
Okay.
I remember I mentioned this in front of Zane Hodges one time at Victor Street Bible Chapel, and he disagreed strongly. He felt that this permitted divorce, but not remarriage.
You are invited to subscribe to the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. You will find our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday videos there, enlightening and encouraging, and even probably humorous at times if you like Bob Wilkins' humor. Indeed, you will get biblical truth about free grace themes like faith alone for eternal salvation and why the Grace Evangelical Society is zero-point Calvinistic. We come your way 3 times a week at the Grace Evangelical YouTube channel. Check it out and tell a friend about the Grace Evangelical Society.
I remember I mentioned this in front of Zane Hodges one time at Victor Street Bible Chapel, and he disagreed strongly. He felt that this permitted divorce, but not remarriage. Even though Zane Hodges did agree with Matthew 5:32 and 19:9 that the exception clause applied to both divorce and remarriage. So there are multiple views here.
Yeah.
And I think what's probably best to say is that in Matthew 5:32 and 19:9, the Lord is giving an exception. Obviously, it says except for. What's funny is some people point out that you don't have this in Mark and Luke. You have just the absolute statement that there's no divorce, no remarriage. Well, I would suggest that the simplest explanation, since we know the Lord said what he said in Matthew 5:32 and 19:9, is that on some occasions he gave the absolute, and on some occasions he did say there's an exception. And so he gives the exception in the Matthew passages. So I would be perfectly comfortable if someone came to me and said, you know, my spouse has committed adultery, they've gone on and married somebody else, they divorced me, they married somebody else, am I free to remarry? I would be comfortable to say yes based on these passages. On the other hand, if your spouse commits adultery and you come to me and say, should I divorce them? My answer would be, the biblical principle seems to be to stay together, but you're permitted. So you're not forced to stay together. You would be permitted to divorce them under this. But I would give it a lot of thought before I would do that, because if the person repents and comes back, well, then you can have a happy marriage that lasts for, you know, 50 years or more.
So in that situation, would that be maybe not a sinful versus, you know, non-sinful choice, but maybe wise versus unwise?
Right. It's not sinful to divorce if your spouse commits adultery, if you understand this the way I do.
Yeah.
I would also say if two unbelievers marry and one becomes a believer and the other one says, you're a nut and I'm going to divorce you. Of course, today you don't even need to let them depart. Today there's no fault divorce. And so a person can divorce you even if you don't want a divorce, right?
Right.
But in that case, I would not personally have a problem with saying if the person understood it that way, that they would be comfortable to remarry. Not everybody sees it that way. So it's a matter of your own personal conscience.
Well, how about the situation maybe when they were married, they were both believers, but one has now gone apostate and that person decides to leave and get a divorce. Would you still say the same thing in that situation?
No, I would say if you have a situation where you have two believers married and the one believer has now become an atheist or they've now become an agnostic or, you know, they've departed into some cult or something. No, I wouldn't say you're free to remarry. I would say you would only be free to remarry if they commit adultery or some other form of immorality. Now, by the way, this gets awful tricky. I don't think that the person has to hire a private investigator to follow the person around and get proof that they were having an affair. If the evidence is strong that the person has had an affair, then it seems to me that's sufficient. I have a friend who's a pastor, and when his boys were in college, he had to make a little extra money because he had two boys in college at the same time. So he began delivering papers to convenience stores and hotels at like 4:30 in the morning. He would deliver, go pick up the papers and then deliver them to all these places around his town.
When people would actually read print newspapers
back
then,
right? Right. This was like 20 years ago. Anyway, he said that he heard a report that one of the men in his church was having an affair. Yeah. And he had approached the man, talked to him. He was a friend of his, and the man denied it.
Yeah.
So he said, okay, great. Well, then he kept hearing reports the man was having an affair. And he was told that the man had parked his vehicle in front of this woman's house at like 4 in the morning. It was still there at 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
So since he delivered papers at 4:30 in the morning, one morning he drove by the woman's house, and sure enough, he saw the vehicle sitting in front of this woman's house at like 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And so he confronted him, and the man confessed. Now, that man went on to repent, and stay. His wife stayed with him, and so it's a success story.
Yeah.
But the truth is, in the case of someone who is involved with someone else, you don't have to catch them in the act in order to say, yeah, they're committing, or they wouldn't even have to confess. I mean, it would seem to me if you see the vehicle out in front at 4:30 in the morning, that's sufficient evidence.
Yeah, without some good explanation.
Right, unless you've got a good explanation. And so I would say, and by the way, I don't think the Bible tries to answer every question about divorce and remarriage. Yeah. For example, what happens if your spouse is in a persistent vegetative state and they've been in a persistent vegetative state for years, but the state you live in won't allow them to disconnect life support? Would you be free to remarry?
Mm-hmm.
I would say you are, because the person is essentially dead.
Right.
And what about the situation where someone, like in the Vietnam War, is declared missing in action, and they've been missing for 5 years, but they've not been declared killed in action?
Right. How long do you have to wait here?
Right. At some point, I would say you're free to remarry.
Yeah.
And by the way, there were people declared killed in action who ended up coming back.
Right.
And they found out that, oops, I've remarried.
Yeah.
But I would say that wouldn't be sin on the part of the person.
Mm-hmm.
There's ambiguity here, Ruth, and you need to pray about it. You need to study it. There's lots of books on this subject, so I'd urge you to look into it.
Sounds good. And remember,
keep grace
in focus.
We invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. On our next episode, will the torment in the lake of fire be worse for Satan than others? Please join us. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.